morning. Welcome to New Year's Eve at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad you have joined us in person and online for this service. Please stand as you are able for opening hymns. Standing and turn to your neighbor and greet them with the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you.
All right, and before you all sit down, let's wave at the balcony. Our production staff is up there as well as everybody online watching. Happy New Year's Eve. Okay. As we enter into a time of prayer, let's take a moment to center ourselves, sit back, relax with a deep breath. Let's put aside all of the good and bad of this year and rest in this moment of prayer with God. Let us pray. God of time eternal, as 2024 approaches, help us enter the new year quietly, thoughtful of who we are to ourselves and to others, mindful that our steps make an impact and our words carry power. May we walk gently. May we speak only after we've listened well. Creator of all life, help us enter the new year reverently, aware that you have endowed every creature and plant, every person, habitat with beauty and purpose. May we regard the world with tenderness. May we honor rather than destroy. May we seek peace rather than war. And may we seek compassion rather than hate. Creator God, today marks the last day of this year. Some of us are ready to see it go and ready for a new start. But thank you that you're able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purpose in this new year. God, there are many things happening in our lives and in this world. Some bring us joy and some weigh heavy on our hearts. We humbly bring all of those to you today. We pray for Mary Elizabeth, Sandra, Donna, Caroline, Daria. Continued prayers for those of us experiencing a lack of good pay or stable work, a safe place to live, food insecurities, and for all of us dealing with anxiety, depression, and the need for physical health. May we find mental clarity, wisdom, and the ability to overcome as we draw closer to you. Let us rest in your presence for a few moments as we individually lift up to you what is on our hearts and minds in silent prayer. Lord, you make all things new. You bring hope alive in our hearts and cause our spirits to rise again. Thank you for this new year and for all the potential it holds. We give praise and thanks to you as we now offer the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Happy New Year's Eve. Good morning, church family. How are we? How are we doing today? How was the holiday? Yeah? It was a busy one here. We had three amazing services back-to-back on Christmas Eve, and then also with Temple Israel the next day on Christmas Day, serving dinner to over 1,000 people. It was an amazing time. So glad to see you today as you're ringing out this year with us. Let's quickly, if we can, check in. Got the QR codes out there. This is the phone time. Please get your phones out, scan that QR code, and if you have a prayer request, you can drop that in there. There's a place for you to write your prayer request, and I get those every Monday, and I share them with the pastoral staff. Just a few things for today. Refreshments, first of all. If you're looking for them, they're going to be in the parlor. Since it's cold out, I thought it might be rainy, so we put them in the parlor today. And just a few things to get on your radar for today, or for this month. Did everyone get a little fridge flyer? If not, there's some in the pew pockets for you. You can grab one. As a list of the next 4 months, we've been planning some things for you. So the next 4 months, take this home, go ahead and scan a few QR codes, and you're invited to everything on this list and more. So please find some things that makes that interest you and join us. Just checking in with January. We have a few things happening. Most small groups are off until the beginning of February, but we do have one starting on the 14th, and we're calling that one Adult Sunday Study, because the topics are going to change, but it's going to be led by Rev Ed and Tim Payne, and the first class, or the first study that they're going to do is on Galatians for the first 3 months, so that starts on the 14th, and then, of course, we have our blessing bag build on the 21st, and if you have never done that before, it's like we get in a line and we pass the bags down and we fill them full of things that people who are unhoused, who might be on the street, who might need a little something for the day. Hygiene products are in there. There's some food and some fresh socks. And we also, if you're when you're done, you can also take a few of the bags home with you and keep them in your car for when needed. Also, we're being a part of, again, for the LA Unhoused Count. That happens every year, and it helps with funding. So in Hollywood, there's a QR code you can scan. You must be signed up, but we're actually, we help out in the Hollywood one, and it goes from 8 to 12 p.m. on the 25th. So please register if you are interested in helping. And then on our last big thing that's happening, Dr. Frank Rogers, who's a professor at Claremont School of Theology, will be coming. He'll be preaching as well as giving a discussion after church on compassion. And we're all very excited about him being here with us on the 28th of January. So if you can be here for any or all of those, please do. And if you have any questions, I'll be in the parlor afterwards, and I can answer those for you. Everything we do here is made possible by you through your presence, your prayers, your service, and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up a QR code for electronic giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to grow this ministry here in the heart of Hollywood and in Toluca Lake. Happy New Year.
Good morning. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, where the Messiah was to be born, they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least of the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned for them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent to them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Before I begin, you heard Devin recount all that we have been doing this last weekend. Well, on Thursday, there was also something very special that happened. On Thursday, I introduced April and Rebecca as the newest married couple in Hollywood. I can't do that today. Well, hang on. Because I'm sure there's been other weddings since Thursday. But I can say the most newly wedded couple in all of Hollywood United Methodist Church's congregation, April and Rebecca, would you stand and let us greet you? We're really happy for you all. All right, now, in the words of Barry Manilow, it's just another New Year's Eve. But actually, it isn't. When New Year's Eve falls on Sunday, we celebrate like it's the 12th day of Christmas, which is also known as the Epiphany. So that means next week, we'll be doing Baptism of the Lord, Remembrance of Baptism Sunday. So take all your pictures with all of our Christmas ornaments, because they will all be gone by next week. But as we begin a new year, let us consider what God can do through us in 2024 when we embrace the power of the light of the world, of the Christ child, as happened to the wise ones over 2,000 years ago. Now, we know the story of the Magi, who may or may not have been kings. They were wise ones, likely astrologers from the east, who kept a close watch on the sky to observe changes in the heavens and on earth. Now, was it a comet they saw? Or just an increasingly bright light that signaled to them the dawning of a new era? Matthew tells us that just as Jesus was born, they saw this new star rising in the western sky over Judea, the land of the Jews. Using all their powers of analysis and interpretation, they determined that this star was a sign that a new king had been born. The Jews had been given a new king, and the lights of heaven proclaimed it. What they did not yet know was that this new king who had been born in Judea was not only the king of the Jews, but the king of kings and the Lord of lords. The Savior is all, and his name was Jesus, as Tom Long writes. These three wise men wanted to see this new thing that had happened, and so they desired to show their honor for the new king. So they set out for Judea to the west, in the direction of the star they had seen. Now, in our imaginations, we can just see them on the camels riding along, but the Bible doesn't tell us how long they traveled. It only says where they traveled, to Judea. And when they got to their destination, they went immediately to the city of Jerusalem, to the palace of Herod. Now, Matthew has already told us in this story that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, not Jerusalem. So just imagine how the paranoid, abusive, and mentally unstable Roman-appointed king of the Jews, Herod, reacted when these three wise men came from the east to the palace asking about a new king. It rattled Herod, because if there's a new king, that means the old king is done for. Well, Herod told the wise ones to go and find this new king that had been born and come back and report to him on their whereabouts. So Herod, too, could go and worship him. Yeah, like anyone's going to believe that. Well, when the Magi got to Bethlehem, Matthew tells us they fell to their knees and they were completely transformed by the power and the promise of this tiny baby. Meantime, they knew that the one who had sent them, King Herod, was living in utter terror of the power and the promise of this child, born in a stable, lying in a manger. So the Magi had a choice to make: return and report their findings to Herod so he could protect his crown and his ruling status by sending his armies to destroy this child, or live out the change that the Christ child has already worked in them by defying Herod. Alice McKenzie has written that while they started out starry-eyed, they became increasingly savvy to the evil that threatened and surrounded them and this child. I like to think the dream they had warned them about Herod, that it didn't catch them off guard, but it rather confirmed their suspicions. Matthew tells us that the wise ones were changed by this dream, and so they changed direction. They head home by a new road, a different road, protecting themselves, but more importantly, protecting the Messiah, the child. Now, Matthew includes this story in his gospel, whose target is Jewish Christians, for several reasons. First, the presence of the Magi and their quest for God's Messiah announce that the world is changing, that God is approaching, and that nothing can remain the same in the presence of the Messiah. The arrival of these wandering astrologers signals that the reach of God's embrace is broadening considerably, that there's no longer insider and outsider, but that all people are included in God's plan for salvation. This isn't a new theme in Judaism, as from the very beginning of the story, God promises to bless Abraham and Sarah, that they in turn might be a blessing from the world. But now it's happening. All distinctions between people of different ethnicities and religions is dissolving. All are becoming one in Christ. And who knows what's going to change next? Second, the wise ones show us how we should respond when the world is changing all around us. Have faith in God. Follow the Christ child, perhaps one by a different road, one that seeks not power but love. A road that seeks not authority but compassion. The Magi represent all of us who aren't always exactly sure where God is leading us, but who fall to our knees when face to face with the Christ child, and who are committed to following the Christ wherever we are led. Third, the great medieval theologian St. Thomas Aquinas once prayed, "Put my life in good order, O Lord." What is it, we might ask ourselves, what is it that we will do to put our lives in good order in the new year? How might our lives, in a different way, reflect the light of the world, reflect the Christ child anew? And then Scott Hosey says that the story is about the reach of grace. Matthew is giving a gospel sneak preview. The Christ child who attracted these odd magi to his cradle will later have the same magnetic effect on Samaritan adulterers, immoral people, greasy tax collectors on the take, despised Roman soldiers, and ostracized lepers. Family, when we encounter the Christ child, the reach of God's grace inspires us to dream new dreams and choose new roads anytime in this new year. And the really good news is that new year doesn't have to start tomorrow. It can, but it doesn't have to. It doesn't even have to start in January or on our birthdays or on the fifth Sunday of the month. A new year in which grace overflows, and in the words of Anne Lamott, grace bats last, that comes to us each and every day, as does the potential for change and growth. So, an invitation on this New Year's Eve. Decide what from your past is worth keeping. Forgive yourselves for the things that you regret, because the good news is God has already forgiven you. Start this day, start every day, by telling yourself that because you have encountered the Christ child, you have been changed. And pledge anew to reflect Christ's light in the world, in word and in action. I'm going to close with this Epiphany prayer by the great theologian and Old Testament scholar, Walter Brueggemann, who's now in his 90s. On Epiphany Day, we are still the people walking. We are still people in the dark, and the darkness looms large around us. Beset as we are by fear, anxiety, brutality, violence, loss, a dozen alienations that we cannot manage. We could be, people of your light. So we pray for the light of your glorious presence as we await for your appearing. We pray for the light of your wondrous grace as we exhaust our coping capacity. We pray for your gift of newness that will override our weariness. We pray that we may see and know and hear and trust in your good rule, that we may have energy, courage, and freedom to enact your rule through the demands of the day. We submit our day to you and to your rule with deep joy and high hope. Happy New Year. Amen.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a
to thank Luke as our designated choir member today for being our cantor. And to Thompson Howell for filling in as our organist for this morning. As you can see, there folks are taking some time off this weekend. Next week, the choir, John West will be back, as well as all of our children's program and ministry. So please come next Sunday as we remember our baptism and rejoice in that grace. After the postlude, if you would like to receive communion, you're welcome to come down to the first two rows, and I will be consecrating communion. You don't have to be a member of this church or of any church. You simply have to have the desire to receive. So receive the benediction. Know that God loves you. Know that in this new year, grace indeed bats last. So go forth knowing of the assurance of God's love in your life. Go in peace. Amen.